185miles south.com.
Smash that Patreon button.
Miles South, a hardcore punk rock podcast. What's up, everyone? This week on the pod, we are doing a Super 7 for the year 1996. Helping out, you know him, you love him. It is the best dressed man on the pod. It is Daniel Sant. What's up, Dan?
Blue moon, you stole me standing alone.
Also helping out, it is Ben Merlis, a.k.a. Ben Edge, a.k.a. Bedge. What's up, Ben?
What's going on? That was rando AF.
And rounding us out, don't call him Cincinnati, it is Clevo. What's up, Clevo?
What's going on, guys?
Yeah, yeah. All right, 1996, you know it's a great year. This is the year I get into hardcore, so it's probably the GOAT, you know? And that settles it. What else do we need to say about the year? Ben, you got anything to say on this year?
Yeah, we've been thinking a lot about the 90s in general lately here at 185 HQ. And it is such a random ass decade. So much is happening all at the same time because you got the punk family tree just spreading out, sprouting new branches in all kinds of different directions. And 1996 is very indicative of that. There's so much stuff. There's emo stuff. There's youth crew just starting to come back. There's, metal mosh, like a continuation of the early 90s, breakdown centric hardcore. And there's tons of like Epiphat. It's kind of like peak Epiphat too. And so, kind of something for everyone. And unless you're, a through and through 77 style punk, I totally ignored that kind of stuff in around this time, so maybe there's even stuff for you actually that I'm not going to name names because it might give away shit that we're going to talk about later, but there actually is stuff in that lane as well. And then the thing is about 96 is you kind of, unless you're like a metal kid or a pop punk kid, you kind of have to dive into all of it in order to have a full plate, because there just isn't enough youth crew shit that comes out in 96 for you to only be listening to that. Like, because believe me, I would have been only listening to that if there was enough stuff. So my taste was pretty friggin' eclectic at this point.
Well, because the youth crew revival is in its first stage, right? Floor Punch, 10-Year Fight, demos come out in 95. The 7-inches come out in 96, so it's just going to pop off. It's going to get hot. And I, the only thing I would disagree with you, Ben, is I think that the Epiphat stuff is kind of it's like past its peak here. It peaked like 94, 95, because, I love that stuff. And I look at my list and, my list is like 20 bands right now. I got to get it down to 7 songs, but the stuff is not there. Like when you think of like the Epiphat, I got no Pennywise, I got no Lagwagon, got no Use for a Name, none of that stuff is here. So it's a very interesting year, very eclectic. There's so much good stuff here in like basically every lane, and I'm sure we're going to hit most of it. Dan, what do you got to say on 96?
I'm going to put it out there right now. It might be a top 5 year for punk and hardcore ever. I'm going to say it. So much good stuff. I've got 22 bands to get down to 7 picks. That is bloody murder. This is my heyday. this is when I was just like a whale shark, just voraciously inhaling every single style, just finding something in everything, really loving it. And you'll see why, because there's so much good music in this year, so I'm excited to dig in. I'm excited to hear your picks, all of yours, and I'm excited to for the listeners to finally side with me and just know that I know what's up in 1996.
Yeah, this year is a wild year, you know, and it's kind of when I transition over from listening to a lot of the Epifat stuff into hardcore. And there's like so much good hardcore. It's like, what a great year to act as like that net. Like, oh, you're kind of sick of one thing. Like, here's this other thing. And there's so much stuff on like all ends of the spectrum. It's totally wild. Clevo, what's your main memories of 96?
You know, 96 was the year that like I was probably the year that I was probably most involved, or, you know, like probably the first year that I was like super involved, even though I wasn't playing in a band then. And just really going to shows, you know, roadie, I was roadieing for 10 Yard Fight at the time, you know, 10 Yard Fight first tour on the East Coast. But also the music is just really, it's still going to be really varied. I think, I don't think that our playlists are going to be very one note, because just like, I think that a lot of the bands are just kind of still a little bit all over the place, because there isn't really that solid Youth Crew revival yet. I think, you know, there is still, you know, kind of the tail end of that Epifat thing, you know, the early 90s Epifat thing. And, you know, seeing, you know, Victory Records still has some pretty solid stuff, 96. So, yeah, it's going to be kind of all over the place, I think, with our lists here.
I love it. Dan, let's go to you for the rules of the Super 7 and also the order of the picks.
Okay, so a Super 7, the aim is for everybody to construct the best 7-song mixtape / playlist. The way we do it is similar to fantasy football, where we have pick one, position one going first, and then it goes to the second pick, the third pick, and the fourth pick, and it goes in a round robin like that until we all have 7 song picks. Now we rolled, and the Ohio contingent said that it's a fix and threw his toys out the pram, so we gave him the first pick. So Clevo will be picking first, me second, Ben third, and Zach batting cleanup.
Now, Dan, we should say the reason why he gave him first was because he said he had such an epic reason for his first pick, and he would be completely disappointed if he wasn't able to get it. So I think it should be contingent on how good his speech is. We might still strip it away from him.
Yeah, and Zach just wanted to feel at home in the Nard curse as well.
That's right. It's been a while since I got the Nard curse, and I don't want anyone accusing me of fixing it, even though I don't do the role. So, yeah, anyway, I love it. If someone's passionate about a pick, give it to them. This year is so gnarly, and I've gotten the one spot a couple times, and I felt like it bit me in the ass. You know, it's like you get that first song, but then I'm kind of like chasing after what I need the rest of the time. So, Clevo, it's all yours. What's the best song of 1996?
Out of respect, guys from other crews got away with a warning. Everybody else, yeah, Watch out. It's going to be Floor Punch with No Exceptions. And it could have been Floor Punch with any song off of the 7-inch, but No Exceptions, I think, really it kicks off the second side of the 7-inch with that sample. And really, when we talk about the Youth Crew revival, you know, talking about Floor Punch, I think one of the things that is what makes Floor Punch stand out from the rest of the from the rest of the bands, really just from that whole scene, is that while they were definitely influenced by that Schism, Revelation, Youth Crew stuff, they added that sort of straight ahead grittiness to it, and also taking from bands like Breakdown, really like adding the hard to the hardcore. The song kind of has it all. The bass intro, it just hits so hard when you drop the needle on the second side of that record.
Yeah, this is like their meanest song. Like, it just sounds mean. And that's why Floor Punch is so great. It's two things, right? They do the Youth Crew shit, but they toss in New York hardcore, and it is just so catchy. Because, like, I listen to the 7-inch a fair amount still, and trying to put it in the context now, this was one of my favorite things ever back then, you know, and like the 5 years that came after it. So I listened to it now with like the idea of like, okay, this is like 25 years ago. How great is it really, you know? And there's like a lot of other stuff that sounds wilder. There's a lot of other stuff that sounds better, but it's like, is there anything catchier? Like, I know every word on here, you know? And what other, like, hardcore can deliver in that way where, like, the verses are as catchy as the choruses? It's so wild.
Yeah. I think that it's just, like, the total package because it's simple, but it's not, like it's well put together while still being simple. And I thought at the time, really, like, the production, I think when I first heard it, I was like, oh, I wish this had a little bit better production. As time goes on, I think it sounds perfect for what it is.
Right. I mean, I would say if anything, it's a little too clean, you know, for what they're going for. Cause like they do like the wild, like scissor beat and shit. It's like a slowed down scissor beat, but it's like it's a not conventional fast beat on some parts, you know. Dan, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that the funny thing about Floor Punch and the thing that makes them so great and unique is that it's all about crew and friendship and all of this, but it's also the meanest thing out there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like you can't sit with those type vibes. And the music's perfect. They may pop up again. We shall see. But I think the production, like Clevo says, is nailed on, perfect for what they're achieving, marrying the Schism with the Killing Times and the Breakdowns. You know, this is top tier hardcore over any period, and the fact that it comes out in 1996 just really, you know, solidifies the quality of this year.
Yeah, I think this is like unanimous. So this is a solid first pick. Ben, do you want to touch this, or should we send it to Dan for his first pick?
This was hard to get on the West Coast in 96. Like, I didn't even physically see one of these records until 97. A lot of these records, actually. So just to kind of paint a picture of how starved for this kind of stuff we were and how inaccessible a lot of it was. I first heard them, the song Clear, on the Tie That Binds comp, which might be from the demo. I don't know. I'd have to look. But that's a mean song, too, because he says, I pray to fucking God UOD on that shit. It's like, damn. I want to say that there's sort of the spiritual ancestors of, like, early Judge. That's the vibe I get.
I want to say that Mark has said, he either said it in an interview or said it somewhere, where he listened to the Judge 7-inch and wrote the lyrics in like 15 minutes for the demo. So, it tracks.
Yeah. And
a brain dead body is all that remains.
Good drumming too. Great, great drummer.
Yeah. Cool. Creative drumming for sure. Dan, let's go to you for your number one pick.
I know my family is there for me, and without them, where the hell would I be? I have got to go with arguably, you know, a top three, maybe top five Madball song that is just absolutely the thing that is hard as hell but catchy as hell. It makes everyone in the place want to sing along to it, and it is designed to do that. It's just perfect. It is the ability to unify the entire crowd while also people are smashing the hell out of each other. It is Pride, Times Are Changing by Madball. This is what a hardcore song is. Lyrically, sound, backups, chorus, melody, everything. This is, you know, created in a lab. This is fantastic hardcore.
Don't forget the video.
That's true. That too.
You know, it's got to be in a vacant lot, and it's got to be dudes looking mean, you know.
Yeah.
This is like a hit song, you know. It's like, I don't know. This is like the stuff where when we talk about like hardcore is the best music, not just like, oh, this is a great song for hardcore. Oh, that's a great band for a hardcore band. You know, it's like, this is apex music for the world, you know. Fuck Stairway to Heaven. You know what I'm talking about? Madball Pride, dude. That's the shit. I absolutely love this. Clevo, you got a take on this?
Yeah, great song. I was just thinking, you know, Madball, this three record arc they have with Set It Off, Demonstrate My Style, and Look My Way, for like every 2 years they just came out with this banger of a record. And you know, definitely there's more hits on this. I wouldn't be surprised if we heard more from this record later, but yeah, really top of their game. Just like, you know, when it seemed like, you know, sort of bands, there may have been a bit of a divide between like professional bands and bands that would be playing more house shows and VFW shows. Madball was like the epitome of like the professional hardcore band. They just played big stages and just tore houses down.
Yeah, and we got to say it's actually a four record run, because Hold It Down might be the best record, and that's the year 2000. It's the best four album run in the history of hardcore, like undoubtedly. Ben, you want to touch this, or you want to take your number one pick?
The cheat code to Stairway to Heaven is start in the middle of the song when it picks up, so you can lose that whole like corny intro that you hear people try to play at Guitar Center, because it does rock towards the end.
You stole my Freebird cheat code.
Oh, yeah, that too. I agree with that. I did.
All right, number one, Ben.
Number one, I Can't Believe Another Round's Gone By and Still Nothing. Nothing. None of you picked this song. Guitar, bass, and drums for this song were recorded around 1990 for the second Chain of Strength 7-inch, but the vocals were recorded quite a few years later for the One Thing That Still Holds True Chain of Strength discography LP/CD, which came out in 1996. Discogs says 95. That is not true. Frosty confirms it was 1996, using exactly the same rule set that Zach employed when he picked the Misfits Angel Fuck for the 1985 Super 7, which is that the first appearance of a song counts for that year. I am picking the only Chain of Strength song that qualifies for 1996. Booyah, pack it in, boys. I got the chain song. We have a winner.
Ben is sensitive because we recorded an episode recently that's going to come out. We put together the best 100 records of 1980s, and you're going to see why. And respect, Ben. I'll take it. Great song.
I do like that Ben already had his legal defense built into describing the song, and not even describing the song. The song didn't even get he didn't get descriptive on the song. He just got descriptive on his legal case. Zach did it in Angel Fuck versus Wade in 19.
Yeah, Zach did it with Angel Fuck, and Zach's spirit animal Frosty gave the stamp of approval. So it's on. I love it, dude. Kurt's vocals on this song sound so good. And like, this is, look, kids of my era, which would have been, this is the year I get into hardcore, right? Like, we're not getting the Chain of Strength 7-inches anymore. When this gets like repressed, we always hear the controversy, right? Like, oh, the 7-inches sounded so much better. Like, we're used to this thing, and this thing sounds so good, you know, because Chain of Strength is like a perfect hardcore band, you know? Kurt's vocals, especially on this song, it's the first song on the CD, they are just out of this world. And Chain has like these real subtle melodies where, like, if you're coming from that Epiphat world, you can like really get into Chain of Strength. Where, like, you know, Chain of Strength, GB, Ignite, that stuff's all pretty easy. Where, like, if you jump straight to Youth of the Day, that can be like a little wild, you know. Dan, what's your take on this song?
It's unbelievable. And yes, in 1996, to get a song that you hadn't had yet was mind-blowing and exciting, and was debated and listened to, and like, oh, what do you think? Oh, is it the best thing? You know, just because it's something new, you instantly like, oh, it might be, God, I wish it was on one of the things, you know, just that kind of thing. Like, it's incredible music. Chain of Strength can do no wrong when they're called Chain of Strength. And yeah, great pick. Love the legal argument, and I applaud you.
Clevo, was his legal argument good enough for you?
I mean, it is the first appearance. Personally, I think that that's good enough for me. You know, I, as someone who as someone who really goes out of their way to only collect original pressings of records, if they consider it a reissue, but it's the first time on vinyl, that's the first pressing for me, so I'll take it.
I love it. All right, my first pick, I got to be true to myself. This is a band that was my crossover band. I loved them, loved them, loved them, and I still love them. The band is Ignite. The song is Embrace. And it is just so short, so hard-hitting, so perfect, because Zoli's voice just carries this thing. And it's like, if you're on board with that voice, he gives you everything you need in the song. You know, it's just, it's really pretty. While it's just like raging fast hardcore, the second coming of Uniform Choice. Like, it really is. And God, what a perfect band to have to like cross over from like being into Lagwagon or No Use for a Name or NOFX and stuff. Like, this band's it. Like, I want fast, I want a little bit of melody, but I'm so sick of like dumb lyrics, you know? And it's just like, fuck, this is not, these are dudes that take like their shit seriously, you know what I mean? And it's just what I needed, and I absolutely love it. Love Calling My Brothers from the year before, but this is like, I got in like shortly after this came out. So this like hits. These six songs are, there's a couple that are like maybe better than anything on Calling My Brothers. Maybe not. But those two, like the 1-2 punch, are just like out of this world, you know? And then the band changes. You know, once Jody Foster leaves, like the guitar work isn't the same, you know? Like the next LP comes out and it just is, sonically it's kind of the same. The songwriting is the same. The vocals are the same, but they don't have all like those, the textures of the guitar. And there's just something like in the layers of this music that makes it so special. So, and then also the lineup of this band at this time for these years was just like a powerhouse. This four piece, like, I know I was young, but I still like believe that like this is one of the greatest bands I ever saw in my life of any genre. So it is what it is. Dan, what's your take on this?
So you're saying fuck Janos.
No, I'm down with Janosch, dude. But this song is better than the Janosch song.
All right, well, respect. Yeah, Past Our Means. It's one of those things where you can listen to every single song, find lots of new stuff every time. Not every time, but you know what I mean. The music's so layered. It's so interesting. It's got melody, but it's got edge. It's got, you know, aggression, but it's got tunefulness. Like, everything about it is, you know, like you say, this particular lineup that they were firing on coming out of following Call, going to Past Our Means is just absolutely live. They were really powerful. They were playing, they were headlining some shows, they were playing mid card some shows, but they were stealing the show a lot around this time. Incredible frontman for getting the crowd involved, like for sing-alongs. And, you know, they jumped like crazy. They all had bleach blonde hair. They looked like, you know, a band from Orange County should look like. And it's really intelligent, heartfelt lyrics, even if some of it, sometimes when you know, you can sit back and laugh, but really when you're laughing at sincerity, it's you that's the fool, you know? So I knew you were going to pick something off this, and I'm really glad. It might take me having to have one of these on my list. Now I'm glad that they're in the convo, so maybe one of the other 22 bands can get a look in from me.
Clevo, that the rebirth of like Youth Crew stuff starts around this time on the East Coast. How do the people that are into that stuff take Ignite?
You know, really, they really went over really well. They came out, they opened for Earth Crisis, I want to say summer of 95. I think I saw them. They were touring with Earth Crisis. And then, yeah, it just kind of stuck, but it really, you know, really it was, you know, that whole, like the new, it was like the new Uniform Choice, really, you know, kind of riding on that. with you know, having Joe in the band and doing the uniform choice covers and stuff. So they went over really well. I mean, we went all over to see them when they came out east. And they put on a great show. That original lineup, like you said, is just such a solid lineup. The original lineup was Zoli, not the original lineup, but you know, just those guys plus Zoli was just such a solid lineup.
Ben, is there any band that you would rather be a stage seal to?
No, this would be the one. They were the band to see in 96, at least on the West Coast, of the bands we were able to see, because a lot of those East Coast bands didn't come out until the following summer or even later than that. But I saw Ignite many times around, you know, 95, 6, 7, 8. And it was like a near religious experience. It was like everything you'd want like a hardcore show to be. I think some of it's tainted by, you know, oh, they're meatheads. Oh, they said this and that when they were off the stage, or they didn't blah, blah, blah. Like there's always these asterisks associated with them. But at the time, 96, buying these records as they're coming out, seeing them play, nothing was better than that. I mean, that I can think of off the top of my head.
And they excelled everywhere, right? Like I seen them in San Bernardino with like the Aquabats. They killed it. Then I seen them play like the living room in Goleta to 30 kids and kill it. They were just like the epitome of what you wanted a hardcore band to be. Like so stripped down, play the same every night, regardless of how many people are in the crowd, and just fucking kill it, dude. It was so good. All right, let's go to Clevo for his number two pick.
I can't believe it's available. Fans of the podcast will definitely know the song, but I'm going to go with Integrity Vocal Test.
Fuck.
Ooh, I had that.
I'm sure we all did. I don't really know what we need to say about it, since how many versions of Vocal Test have been on this podcast.
Which one's your favorite, Clevo?
Ah, man, I don't, you're not going to put me on the spot with that one. I have no idea.
Boo.
Yeah, just like that 10 inch coming out and getting it. I remember I went to Albany for a show. I think it was when I went to see, I actually think I went to Albany to see 25 to Life, and it was supposed to be 25 to Life, Killing Time canceled, Terror Zone played. And Terror Zone basically, because they had like a demo or 7-inch, they played like their four songs and then just like a bunch of Cro-Mags covers. It was pretty awesome. And then seeing 25 to Life was at that time was pretty awesome. But anyways, next day we went to the record store and they had this, and we got it and basically listened to these five songs just all the way back from Albany back to Boston, and putting it in and just hearing Vocal Test coming on for the first time in the car was just like, it was just shocking, because it's like, holy shit, this is like the perfect, like, I'm surprised I didn't drive the car off the road and just crash, because that was, it was just overwhelming to hear that song.
Well, this is like another thing for 96 that I didn't know was there. I'm totally fucked. Oh my god, dude.
I'm 96 glad I didn't share that with you.
96 is the GOAT, dude.
Yeah.
Like, this is straight up the greatest year. It's amazing. Dan, go ahead.
I was going to say, Clevo missed a trick there. He could have done the Dan Sant special and gone, I'll take Vocal Test and Hollow.
That's true. I left you guys. Actually, Hollow is such a great track. I had a couple tracks off of this record. I mean, it's a 10 inch, and I had probably half the tracks on my list, because I figured Vocal Test was not going to be there when it came around. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll take Hollow in the second round. It's fine. So
the hit's still there.
That's what I'm taking.
If you get it, fool. Are you going to take it right now?
I'm next. All right.
Dan, number two.
Abraxas Annihilation Integrity.
Yeah.
This has, out of every single riff in hardcore, this has the best riff ever. When it goes from drawn out into double time, You know, Zach, you sing it for me because I'm terrible at doing that.
Yeah, it's the greatest riff ever.
Yeah, and friend of the pod and all around amazing person, Mike Cheese, totally corrected Zach and I when we did the Clevo pod, because, you know, I was like, oh, the Melnicks, like, they can do no wrong. He's like, Frank Threegun wrote that song. So thank you, Mike, for increasing the core knowledge. And so the best riff in hardcore ever goes to Frank Threegun, because this song is incredible. It sounds like Armageddon in the very best way.
Dude, this song rips so hard. And you're right. Like, how many riffs sound just as good slow as they do mid-tempo? It's like, just milk it till the end of time, dude. You know, some DJ just put this on loop so I can listen to it like for 8 hours in a row.
Yeah.
You know, fuck it. Clevo, what's your take on this?
I mean, it's integrity. It's integrity with the Melnicks and Frank. It's like the quintessential Cleveland hardcore band. And it's probably a good time to bring up just the picture from the back of the record with them playing Under the Bridge at Warped Tour in Cleveland. Is like, that picture looks like this song sounds.
Yeah, that picture, I mean, I've had it like as various MySpace profile number one picks for a lot of the time, but it is maybe the greatest hardcore photograph ever that the crowd is not a factor in. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah, that's 100%. A great point. You know, and I love the juxtaposition of it too, right? Because like, you listen to this record that sounds so evil and gnarly, and then you see like, oh, it's dudes that aren't cosplaying on the back cover. You know, it's just like sick. It's still like dyed in the wool hardcore. You know, I absolutely love that about it. Ben, you love this record, right?
Yeah, I had a pick from this. I don't know if I'm going to use it, but well, actually, it was Vocal Test, bastard. yeah, the back cover is just like, fuck yeah. It's just like dudes in sneakers and camo shorts all jumping at the same time, like in the middle of the day outdoors. Like, what more do you want? It's hardcore.
But like the hardest jumps, like the way the, you know, doing the Raya today, like, but with the bass, like just with 2 feet up. God, it's so fucking ill.
Yeah, like, you know, the stage is like shaking. Like, they're holding it down. Dude, it did take a little bit away from the photo when I found out it was at Warped Tour. Because like that photo before, like when you look at it and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, Integrity playing this giant stage under a bridge. Like, Clevo is Buck. You know, and then it's like Warped Tour. It's like, oh, Bucko Nine's up next. Like, it kind of changes everything.
Yeah, but just think of those Bucko Nine fans' faces being melted to oblivion, Raiders of the Lost Ark style, as Integrity is just smashing them.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Ben, let's go to you for number two.
All right, well, the best punk band of the 90s put out a record in 96. So, of course, I'm going to pick a song from it. And I'm talking about the Lifetime Boys No Good 7-inch single. I'm picking the B-side, Somewhere in the Swamps of Jersey. So what these guys did for fast hardcore punk on the song Danurism, which is the first song off Hello Bastards, is they wrote a song with an A part, a B part, and a C part, and nothing repeats, and then the song is over. And it's like, okay, A, B, C, boom, done. How did that work so well, and how come people haven't been doing it for a million years before this? And they did the same thing for Somewhere in the Swamps of Jersey. You have an A part, I guess you could call it a verse, a chorus, and a bridge, although it's almost sounds like a pre-chorus going into this like epic bridge part. And then the song is over, and it doesn't feel incomplete at all. It doesn't take away from anything. So it's sort of like when you're writing a song and you're in doubt on whether or not you should go back and repeat, you know, a verse or a chorus again, listen to this song again, and hopefully it'll sway you in the direction of no, just play everything once and then But of course, the song has to be great in the first place. And so Somewhere in the Swamps of Jersey is definitely one of the best songs from this era of Lifetime.
Yeah, Boys Don't Give's a weird song, the lyrics, right? The boy's no good, he's a hood. So respect, I'm taking the B-side.
That song is about
Andrew Klein. Is he butthurt on some other dude? Is he,
yeah. What's that? I think it's about Andrew Klein from Strife, the song Boys No Good.
Sweet. Sorry, Andrew. Take it up with Bedge.
I actually don't want to say who I think it's about, but it's not about Andrew.
Okay, never mind. Well, I didn't pick that song anyway, so don't at me.
Dude, Lifetime, like, being the band that brings, like, kind of back the fast melodic hardcore, like, isn't it wild? Like, how many people do they have beef with? Like, what the fuck?
Floor Punch.
You know, you think with how much beef they have, it's like they're like the meanest tough guy band.
Totally. It's amazing.
But anyway, I know. I love this. This 7-inch is great. And the best record comes out the next year. Dan, what's your take on this?
It's so good. It is that nice bridge between the two LPs, or at least the Hello Bastards to the Jersey's Best. And I like the B-side better myself. So good pick, Ben.
That rules. Clevo, you got to take on this, or should I pull my song?
No, I actually was going to take – if Vocal Test wasn't there, I actually was going to take this as my second pick. I think one thing – because Boys No Good is kind of just a throwaway song, in my opinion. This song is so much better, but also I think lyrically the song is fucking great. Especially like I really love that where it's like when he's like, I'd wait for you always and on streets and in doorways. It's like he sings that really like that line just is like so perfect when it comes in. But the lyrics are really too like, you know, sad boy, emo, like, you know, what we expect from Lifetime. But I think the lyrics are great on this.
I'm in a pickle. I know what band I'm taking, but I can't decide what song. It's going to be something off side A. And yeah, it's either Smash Your Enemies or Kill an Addict. And when I so Ben, like, it's funny because you try to hone into like what hardcore I like sometimes. And it's like, I like stuff that sounds like Floor Punch or stuff that sounds like Hatebreed, Kill an Addict. And it's like, it's because I want that 1 minute song that's like short and catchy. Right. And I guess I don't care about the level of like distortion on it or like how hard the breakdown is. You know, I just want that like 1 minute catchy, serious ass song, you know? So Kill an Addict is a perfect song, but because it's there, I got to take Smash Your Enemies. It sounds so brooding and gnarly, and this 7-inch sounds fucking terrible, but it just like the songs are out of this world great, that it's like it just the songs come through, you know. And they re-recorded Smash Your Enemies on the Perseverance LP, and it just doesn't sound the same, you know, like just something is lost, like they had you know, it's a re-recording. A lot of times just things don't hold up, but it sounds big and nice because that record sounds nice, right? But this original version is just so gnarly. It's a perfect song, you know, coming in with like that slow intro with the big sing-along, then going into like the slow fast, and then you have the big sing-along part at the end with like the cymbal chokes and da 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 da. I'm torn between da 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 da, and there's no right choice. And then it goes into like, I guess you could call it a mosh part, but it's like legitimately a kill part, right? Like the cymbals sound so terrible on this record, but they make this breakdown just sound like so much more savage, you know. And then the same way that we were talking about Abraxas, how like the riff sounds ill, like slow and mid-tempo, they got it here too. So yeah, Hatebreed, Smash Your Enemies. Good God, man. Perfect song. Cleve, always your take on this.
I think the reason that the Perseverance version doesn't sound right is I feel like this, like Hatebreed needs to be recorded on like crate amps with like Ibanez Jackson guitars, like those thin metal guitars with like a reverse headstock and like an Ibanez sound gear bass. And it's only going to sound good then. And if you try to play it through Les Pauls and Marshalls or rectifiers, it's just like too much. Like it's just not going to work. Also, little fun fact about this, if you have the 7-inch, if you check the Matrix, the Matrix says Big Wheel Records, whichever number it was supposed to be, because this was supposed to come out on Big Wheel and just, for various reasons never came out. And then Jeff ended up putting it on Smorgasbord. So little fun fact that the Matrix looks really wrong on this record.
That's the old Dan. What's your take on this?
I mean, this song says it and does it. Like this is a blueprint for what is to come, and cast its shadow over hardcore, for the next, you know, 20 plus years. Like the incubation is going on the 7-inch, and then the full term like spawning is on the LP in a year later. But it is a terrible recording, but it is what it is. It made it sound so raw, almost like where crust meets beatdown. You know, it's like it's sounds so like on that level of like almost, for lack of a better term, like slightly dischargey, just because it sounds so raw because the recording is so bad. But this 7-inch, when it came out, Hatebreed toured the West Coast with Strife. And not Strife, with Trial. And it was, you know, everyone was really excited to see Trial at the shows around here. And then, you know what? Everyone then was looking to write songs like Hatebreed after it.
I love it. Dan, let's go to you for, oh, let's go to Clevo for number three.
Number three. I'm going to go with 108 Invocation off of their Threefold Misery LP. This is probably my favorite 108 LP, but I think on this record, the production is huge. It sounds so perfect, like the bass tone, the guitar tone, but I think the thing that really sets it off is Rob's vocals just sound completely unhinged. It's just like he just takes it to a whole different level from just sort of from those first two LPs. This actually might be my favorite LP of the year. This 108 LP, but this song, just the way it starts with the bass, where it's like the bass just comes in, and then just like when Rob's voice just comes in on top of the music, it's just like. It's a little screechy, but it's like in a good way, and it just like cuts through the music, and song's fucking great.
I love it. Ben, you got a take on this?
Yeah, I actually had a different song on this album as an honorable mention was the Killer of the Soul, which is ironic because it is the most metal sounding song by 108, and it is probably my favorite 108 song. This is definitely the best 108 album. Threefold Misery. And I think it got overlooked at the time because I think they broke up around the time it came out, and it came out on Lost and Found. Even though it came out officially on Lost and Found, it is one of the rare non-bootlegs on the label.
It came out on Lost and Found, and the vinyl was a picture disc.
Right. People are weirded out by picture discs, but great production.
Well, they sound really like they sound like picture discs sound like shit. Like
oh. I guess I don't have that many picture discs to compare, but in general, I just have the CD of this, and it sounds really good. It's a very good recording, and they're super pissed and heavy, and there's fast parts and slow parts, and this is a good way to start the album. This is the first song on the album.
There's also like a reggae Hare Krishna chant on the record. It is such a great record. The one thing on Invocation 2 is just like after it does that breakdown, it does that little hit on the cymbal, And then it goes, and then it just goes right back into the verse. And like Rob's voice, again, when Rob's voice comes in, Rob's voice makes this record like totally, which is crazy to think, because like the musicians are all so good and the songwriting is so good, but Rob's voice, I'm just going to keep saying it, is like so, like just puts this so far over the top.
And it's at a time when Shelter is going in the opposite direction musically. They're getting like,
here we go again.
Poppier and cornier, and 108 is getting like meaner and more just harder. Yeah, they broke up. They got back together. They did some good, even the reunion records are pretty good, but this is the best.
Dan, you got a take on this, or you want to take your number three?
Well, I just want to say right now, Mantra slaps. So I don't want to hear any Mantra dissing. And Songs of Separation is my favorite 108 stuff. So I will slide on to my next pick because these guys just described that really well. So I don't need to add. All right. So I've got two arguably quite hard songs so far. Let's put some absolute beautiful, brilliant, amazing, strong, clever melody into this playlist, and let's go Simple Song by Avail. Now, Avail came out with 4 AM Friday in this year, and I already loved Satiate and Dixie a lot, and they toured a lot around this time, so I saw Avail an awful lot. But then 4 AM Friday came out, and the opening track is Simple Song, and geez, when I heard this for the first time, I could not believe that they could do it again. You know when you love a band and you're like so excited for the new record, but you're also a little bit like scared, like, oh, is it going to be as good? You know, around this time, I didn't have as much cynicism as I do now, so I was just really excited to listen to it. But this song, it just starts out going over in my head. It's so good. I don't know. I know Clevo probably know this record quite well, and Ben maybe. I'm not sure if Zach's ever taken the Avail ride, but
I made myself committed.
Yeah,
there you go. Did I put a forward change? Sure, no way.
I know it, dude. Come on,
yeah.
The song rules.
Yeah, isn't it incredible? And the thing is, like, this record came out and saw him like right after this record came out, and there was 400 people singing every word of this song. That's how like instantly in love with the record and instantly in love with this song, and just a packed house just going crazy to it, you know. Unbelievable. I'm really glad that I got this on my list.
Yeah, I love it. They killed it. Like, they were on fire this time. This is a great album. It's my favorite of theirs, and absolute great band. And this recording sounds like so full, and I don't know. Like, it doesn't sound soft at all. They're very melodic, but it's like a thick recording. They sound like kind of burly, I think. I absolutely love this record. Clevo, you got a take on this?
Believe it or not, Vail is a band that just never clicked with me. I'm interested to hear this again, to go back and listen to it on the playlist, because never really did it for me. But we played a show in Richmond on 4th of July with Avail, Avail headlined, and it was in like a school gym, and yeah, it was like 1,000-1,500 people just all singing every single word along with them, and like I was just standing there like I don't know why this doesn't click with me, because this looks awesome. So I'll give it a listen, because I definitely want to see if maybe it'll click with me now.
I think you'll love it, to be honest. I really do.
Yeah, people, you know that's what it's all about. Every time we do one of these Super Sevens, someone drops a song that I'd never heard, and I get excited to listen to it, because these playlists are fun to listen to, like especially for the years. So go to 185milesouth.com. Click that playlist link at the top of the page and listen to the music we talk about every week on the pod. Ben, you got an Avail take?
This is the best Avail song by a wide margin. I followed them up to Over the James. I didn't get the two after that, but 4 a.m. Friday and Dixie are the two best albums, the one before this and this album, but this is the best Avail song, period. So this was in my A tier, and now you've taken it and I can't use it, but I'm glad it's on the list.
I love it. Love it. Okay, let's go to Jesus.
Benzino.
Yeah, Ben for number three.
All right. I took the one Chain of Strength song that qualifies for this year, so I'm going to also take the one Mouthpiece song, To the Side, from the Antimatter compilation. This is the last Mouthpiece song ever released, and possibly the last one ever recorded. And what a great swan song it is. We talk a lot on this podcast about how these guys, they had that late 80s Youth Crew aesthetic down to a T, like they even were wearing, like, you know, Jordan 2s or whatever. But if you really listen to their music, they were very much of their time, which is that early to mid 90s, kind of more slower, more dark, brooding hardcore. Like bordering on metallic, they're obviously, they're very much less metal than their peers like Earth Crisis or whatever, but it didn't really sound like, you know, it was coming straight out of 88 the way they sort of presented themselves. But I would say this song, To the Side, sounds like they finally got to where they always wanted to be, which is like playing fast, straightforward, straight edge hardcore. And there are no breakdowns in the song either. And it's got that great ending where Tim's like yelling, To the Side! And all the music cuts out and you just hear his voice going, Side! And then that's it. Band over. It's like, ta-ta. We had a good run. We had a good six-year run. But this is the Antimatter comp. When that came out, I couldn't believe it when I saw the track list. It was pretty much every band. It was pretty much all my favorite bands and songs I didn't have already owned by all my favorite bands. And this might be the best song on that comp, which is saying a lot.
Chamberlain would like to have a conversation with you, man.
Pretty good song too.
Dan, you got a take on this?
I would just say it would probably be Jordan 1's, 3's and 4's. The 2, not so much. This Antimatter comp was massive for me. It's like Ben said, like, I pretty much fucked with everything except for Garden Variety on it, pretty much.
Oh, man, that Garden Variety track is great.
It is good, but I'm saying, like, when you see the list of the bands, you're like, oh, I not only like, I love all these bands. Split Lip changing into Chamberlain, that Magnetic 60 Second is, like, their track. But yeah, Mouthpiece steal the show because they're the last thing on there and so good. And I knew this was going to be on Ben's list. I almost, like, in our little group chat said, okay, here's the three songs I know Ben's going to have. And this was one of them.
What was the, oh, I guess you don't want to give it away.
No, I don't want to remind you of things.
It's not that easy, dude, to see the Trivia Champs' cards. That's, you can't, right, just ask. You got to have a real strategy, man. Be thinking three moves ahead, Ben. Clevo, you got to take on this, or you want me to take my number three?
Yeah, later. I think Mouthpiece, as they went on, got better. You know, that last 7-inch is probably my favorite thing they did. Too. But yeah, you know, this stands up with that.
All right. Ben broke away a little bit. No, Dan broke away a little bit from his pack. I'm breaking away a little bit here too. My stuff's all over the place. This is a great year. I'm going to pick a sleazy ass song, you know, and I'm going to talk about a few of my favorite sleazy songs and one of the things that makes them great sleaze songs. You know, you got to start out with an ill first lyric, right? So Motorhead, Killed by Death. If you squeeze my lizard, I'll put my snake on you. You know what I mean? That's like apex sleaze. You know, Rose Tattoo, Nice Boys. She hit town, the rose in bloom. Smell the sweet, sweet perfume. That's sleazy, nasty, and I don't know how I feel about it. Guns N' Roses, It's So Easy. I see your sister in her Sunday dress. What the fuck, dude? You know? But, again, putting punk and hardcore on the same level as like all rock and roll. I love the band Turbo Negro so much. They put out their album Ask Cobra this year. The best two records are Ask Cobra and Apocalypse Dudes, which comes out, I believe, in 98. I'm taking the song Black Rabbit. And the first line, I got a reputation, such a horny hunk. You know, it's just epic sleaze, dude. You know, and the way it comes in is just so abrasive. Like the drummer is on the ride. It's a classic punk riff, just like super simple, right? But the way he's just like hitting the bell on the ride, like so aggressively and fast, it just sounds so dirty and nasty and in your face. And it's just like a great Turbo Negro song. This whole album rips. It's hard to pluck a track off this unless you're going to choose I Got Erection, which is maybe the hit, but I wanted to like get a song that is like up-tempo and rocks for the playlist. Apocalypse Dudes probably has higher highs and maybe lower lows. This thing just bangs like straight through. I would recommend listening to the whole record if you haven't heard it, because it's an amazing piece of rock and roll, dude. But yeah, Turbo Negro, Black Rabbit. Does anyone have a take on this, or do we send it to Clevo for number four?
It bangs. I'd like to know if you're wearing your Turbo Jugend denim vest right now.
I'm not, but I have two. I don't. No. I don't have a Turbo Jugend, or however you say it. Like fucking A, that word is hard to say. But I do have a couple denim vests, man. Looks good. That Canadian tuxedo.
I'm really glad that something got on this, something from this got on the playlist. This is on par with later Poison Idea. I mean, that's really their, I don't know what else they're mixing with it. Something strange and Scandinavian with a sailor cap, but really taking some of the best parts of that, the more straightforward rocky, Poison Idea stuff, and just like adding like so much sleaze, a little bit of Tom of Finland imagery with it. This is front to back a great record.
Yeah, and Dan, there's one on here for you, the Sailor Man Come Take My Hand.
That's right. That's
Sailor Man from Foreign Lands.
Midnight Nambla.
Anchors Away.
Ben, don't go there.
Denim Demon is my hot track for this album. I was never
that's probably the best song.
Never totally sold on their sort of like gay cosplay, right? Isn't that their whole thing? They're like not really gay guys, but they're like, hey, let's pretend to be like gay sailors. Or am I totally off? And they're like, they are.
Well, just like everyone else, like I don't bother with their sexuality, man. They're just dudes that rock. I don't care what they do in the bedroom.
Well, I don't.
Ben wants to know. Maybe you should send him an email, dude.
No, right, I think it's what Clevo mentioned. They're channeling a lot of the Tom of Finland imagery, which really works as being done in this like way with like the Slade meets Poison Idea music. It's really awesome. Like, obviously, there's a lot of copycat stuff since, but. Like when this came out, I was like, wow, that's fucking rad.
Dwarves, yeah. Maybe too. Dwarves influence.
Yeah.
They're kind of in the same lane, right? But they sound a little different. Like dwarves will go full speed on you. They'll like rock a fast beat. Turbo Negro never goes like full speed. It's like that up tempo, mid tempo, you know? Yeah. And Ben's right. Like that Den and Demon song is like probably the hit off this record. Clevo, let's go to you for number four.
So I'm actually going to go back to the antimatter comp, and I'm going to take the lead off track from that Quicksand Shovel. Such a fucking banger of a song. As far as Quicksand goes, I mean, it's Quicksand, but, there's just something about the song. I'm kind of shocked that it, ended up on a comp, and I don't know, maybe if it just didn't fit on Manic Compression, but this just really, really classic. I think Walter's vocals are great on it. The song is catchy. It's got just like the sort of, you know, the quiet Walter singing over it, and then, you know, whole band comes in. It's got a good groove to it. It's Quicksand. It's got a groove. yeah, it's everything you want in a Quicksand song, and it's Walter, and everything Walter touches turns to gold. So here you go.
I love it, Ben. You got a take on this?
Yeah, I actually thought about picking it, but then I saw that it was on a promo CD for the Thorn in My Side single from 95. It's like the B-side, but it's a CD single, so there is no B-side. But I thought, I guess it technically came out in 95, so I'm not going to pick it. But I'm glad you picked it, Clevo.
You know what? I didn't hear it till 96 till I got the antimatter comp, so I'm gonna stand by that one.
Same.
Dude.
Yeah. I want to hear from people who have that that promo CD.
Yeah, if you get that promo CD, take a picture, tag us on Instagram so we can post it. Dan, what's your take on this?
It started out the comp in the perfect way. It is, like Clevo described it, really awesome. The fact that it's groove, it's hard, but fragile at the same time with the way Walter approaches it vocally. And that's the best of Quicksand. When that's achieved, when the music can feel like crashing waves upon you, but the voice is like an angel pulling you out of the waves.
How about that? All right, Dan, let's go to you, I believe, for your number four.
All right. Now, do I completely crush Zach's soul and take Collateral Damage holding my breath? I won't.
Is that not 95?
It's the Indecision comp is 96.
Ew.
Unless God, we already another chose thing. All those things on the 95 episode. I don't know if we've done a 95 episode. My brain is so fried.
I took it on the 95 episode.
Yeah, okay.
Let me dig. I'll dig up the playlist.
All right, so this is pick four, you say?
You're correct, and no one's taken Descendants yet, which is wild.
Yeah, I'm not going to. There's too much other good stuff. All right, I've still got 15 bands to get down to, what, four picks? This is really rough. I'm going to go Los Crudos. That's right, we're that spic band. Now, every Los Crudos song is in Spanish, except for this one. And the reason that this one is so good, and it doesn't mean that all the other ones aren't, like, but why I'm choosing this one is it's in English to call out a ton of what the hardcore scene that is watching them. It's calling them out for being that, you know, treating them like they're a novelty, or, you know, not acknowledging their privilege, or all of these things. And it's an absolute raging song. You call yourself a punk? Bullshit. You're a closet fucking Nazi? Bullshit. You just no understand us? Bullshit. You just fucking fear us? Bullshit. It's so fucking hard. Like, brilliant song, brilliant band. Had to get them on my list.
This song's a ripper, dude. You know, because, yeah, I can't go into our future episodes. But, yeah, let me just, on a side note, not on this, we did take, you took About Face from Redemption 87, and then I took that Collateral Damage song for 95.
Okay, good. And it so, clears up a couple things off my on my list now.
That's right. Yeah, dude, this whole record rips. This band was spectacular. And yeah, Clevo, you got some on this?
I'm glad someone picked this also. I had this song on my list. Again, great record, great song. Calling those people out. It's fucking great.
Ben, you got something on this, or you want to take your number four?
Krudos is kind of like, Krudos is to the US what the Pogues are to England, because the Pogues are really Irish music for Irish immigrants and the children of Irish immigrants living in England. And Krudos is sort of like music for the children of Latin American immigrants living in the United States. You know, they all their lyrics except for this song are in Spanish, and it's sort of like, no wonder they were such a big deal. They were sort of like, they tapped into something that no one had before, you know, because if you wanted a band that had lyrics in Spanish, I mean, there were plenty of them, but they were from Spanish speaking countries. This is an American band. I suppose at the time that would have been considered a novelty, being that they were one of the only ones. Maybe there were other ones. You know what? I'm not as educated as I should be in this punk lane. But anyway, really important band, never spoke to me personally, but you know, I did really bad in high school Spanish. So of course bullshit. It wouldn't speak to me.
Yeah. You know, that's a weird line to walk, right? Because if you're the first and you blow something open, like some people can consider you a novelty, but like, were the Sex Pistols a novelty? Like some people would say yes, and some people would say like they're, you know, one of the catalysts for something great, right?
100%.
Absolutely.
So anyway, Ben, number four.
Number four. This is a song from a record that one of us has something to do with. So you can probably guess what it is. Clevo is credited as visual. Did you do the layout for this? This is the 10-Yard Fight Hardcore Pride 7-inch, and I'm picking the title track off of it. So what was your involvement in this, Clevo?
I took some pictures. I actually don't know which pictures they used for it, because I basically just took pictures and just gave LaCroix the roll of film, and he developed it.
Oh, so you never actually saw the role developed?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, this song is great. This is definitely one of those things where it was like finding water in the desert when it came out. And I didn't get this probably until 97 when Equal Vision put it on a CD with the demo. And it's a diss track. It uses lyrics from Gorilla Biscuits' New Direction, sort of against, I don't know, is it against the band Civ, which is what at the time a lot of the members of Gorilla Biscuits were in? Maybe you can shed light on that too, Clevo.
Yeah, it's definitely calling out Civ, you know, where, you know, going from Rebirth of Hardcore Pride to, you know, just sort of kind of what they became, which, you know, and you didn't really have to talk to Wrench about that one, but yeah, it's definitely directed right at Civ.
Yeah, I loved Civ too. So it's like rap music from the 80s, where like two rappers can diss each other and they can be your two favorite rappers and you just want more. It's like, keep dissing each other, I'm in heaven. Like, that's how I feel.
Hell yeah, I like Cormega and Nas, dude. But I never got down with Jay-Z because he got ethered.
Same.
Anyway.
I always thought it was like going at Quicksand as well, which... but either way, the sentiment is there. The Proud to Be Straight was on the Extent comp before this, right? Before the 7-inch came out, Clevo?
I think so. I'm trying to think, because there's the two Extent comps, and then there's also the Massachusetts comp, but the Massachusetts comp has a outtake from the demo on it. So yeah, it might be Proud to Be Straight.
Yeah, and so I played that song over and over and over again, and then, you know, just in preparation for this 7-inch coming out. Absolutely game changer. Loved it. The demo, you know, was a little bit more jocular in both ways, like being a little bit humorous, but also being like pretty jockey. Whereas when this comes out, it's just like, no, we're a fucking amazing straight edge band. And I'm really glad that Ben chose this, because I've just been panicking looking at how much I still have to try and get in here, but now 10 Yard Fight's represented, so maybe I can let that slide and go somewhere else. I mean, Zach and I talk about this 7-inch off the pod a lot too. It's so good. So it's a landmark for a reason, and it ushers in, alongside Floor Punch, it ushers in the 97 revival. They're the two goalposts at each end of the field, I feel in regard to that. Also with, you know, major players like Ignite and Rain on the Parade participating as well.
Yeah, and EMI's demo coming next year.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I absolutely love this. I'm glad it got on the list. I think it's gonna bail me out too. I was gonna take Forever, which is my favorite track on here. But dude, this is a 7-inch, like the Floor Punch 7-inch, where it's like, I think they're both 6 tracks and all 6 bang. You know what I mean? It's like, good God, they're the best two, you know, of this time. You know,
I would have taken Proud to Be Straight, but in 2022 it takes on a different connotation, as I can tell you all from wearing my Uniform Choice Straight and Alert, Straight and Alert, Straight and Alert, Straight and Alert hoodie to Timeless and being mad dogged by these two lesbians sat getting their coffee. They definitely thought my hoodie meant something else, and it made me feel like I wanted to crawl inside the wall. So even though Proud to Be Straight is my favorite track, I may have taken Holding On.
You should have asked RJ if they were regulars, and if they were, you should have gone down to 1-2-3 go, 1-2-3-4 go, and tried to get that LP and then left it for him as a gift. You know? It's like, here's what it's all about, dude. This thing rips. Like, once you hear Straight and Alert, you guys are going to be stage diving on your bed, and then you won't be Mad Dog anymore. You know? So that would have been ill. Yeah, I think this is going to bail me out, because good God, man, this year rules. Like, there's like shit this year that, like, there's bands I don't like Social Distortion, that have a great song. You know what I mean? And it's like, what the fuck? I don't know what to take. And it's like, my list is not going to be true to myself if I don't take a Floor Punch song and a Madball song. So that's got to be my next two rounds. And then the seventh round will be a wild card. No, I guess I got 4 more picks, right? I'm in round 4. Fuck it. What am I going to take? I'll take Demonstrate My Style. It's first song off the second Madball LP. It's like, they do Set It Off. By now you will have heard the Set It Off episode that this podcast put out. You'll know how we feel about that record, how special it is. And then it's wild. They come out 2 years later and do it again. And I've always said that Demonstrating My Style is like a low-key, underrated, positive record. Like, there's like little things that Freddie does in like the lyrics that make it really like inclusive and cool, while Set It Off is just like, it's like the rage of like a young 19-year-old kid growing up in New York City, right? This one's a little more inclusive. He says like, you know, like the first verse on the song when he's good, like, I'm not alone. And the second time around is like, we're not alone. You know, like little things like that, or like little lyric intricacies that make things really special. And that might seem like stupid to someone that's like not into lyrics, but like, I love those little changes. Bad Religion does it a lot too. Like, they'll just like change a word on the chorus the second time they hit it. And it's like, oh, it just means you're thinking, you know, you're not lazy. And it shows that like people love their craft, you know, but this song is just so ill, you know, I absolutely love it. It's a perfect like first song for a record, which they have a lot of, you know, like, goddamn, what the fuck? Dan, what's your take on this?
Well, I echo your statement, and it's something we've talked about in the past, that this is a really, really positive LP, because like the next song, Now Is the Time for Unity. Why? Because it means a lot to me. You know, it's that's as posy as it comes, you know. Demonstrate My Style it all comes down to, you know, hardcore, I carry the name. Like, it's just vibing, like, straight up saying, I have been born into this, like, with my family heritage. I've been going to shows since I was 8. Now I'm, you know, 3 albums deep, or 2 albums plus 2 EPs deep. I'm really just flexing, showing you, like, everything that I am is hardcore. And the way that the song ends by coming back to the demonstrate my style, and then it just ends, like, the way it begins is just fucking perfect songwriting.
Yeah, part of me wanted to take Streets of Hate just because, like, how ill is it that you have a verse that's, like, one note? Like, oh my God. Like, talk about hardcore brilliance, you know? But yeah, I got to take this. Clevo, you have some on this?
I mean, nothing more to say than, you know, we said earlier. But, you know, if you write nothing but anthems, then every song can be an opening track.
Yeah, it's true. You know, the other thing is just Freddie comes off so confident on this record, and he, like, never loses that. Like, his voice, like, keeps getting better and better all the way up until Hold It Down, which is, like, you know, by then he's just, like, you know, maybe the greatest frontman in hardcore. You know, but the difference between Set It Off and this is noticeable, partially because he, like, maybe they take a little distortion off the vocals, or he's not trying to grunt as much, you know, but, like, I think that he's really, like, finding his voice here, and just so much confidence comes through. I absolutely love it. Daniel, Clevo, let's go to you for number 5.
All right. I'm going to take, speaking of opening tracks, I'm going to take the opener from the Redemption 87 LP, and that would be Rumor Mill.
Good one.
You know, again, you know, talking about Youth Crew Revival, you know, this is definitely another one where you see, you know, Eric coming back and having a band, and really using that voice of his that is so distinct, and just having tracks to back it up, but really love on this song the whole, you know, can't keep us down, and then him doing the antidote capo Eric O voice where it's like when he says we'll be back again is just so perfect. But yeah, great song, great energy. Just really was really, really psyched when I found out about this with this record, heard it for the first time, and really listened to this a lot in 96 and ever since.
Hey, Clevo, was your introduction to this band on the Guilty by Association Indecision comp?
Probably. I'm trying to think if it was that, or when does the Spidey Sessions 7-inch?
That comes after this, I believe.
It's way later, even though it's like a 95 recording, I think.
I have a feeling that whatever I heard from these guys first, I heard through LaCroix, just shit that I'm going to assume that Mandel sent LaCroix shit for Extent, and that's where I heard it. So it probably was the Guilty by Association comp.
Yeah.
Dan, you could have taken About Face twice, yeah, from the Indecision comp and from this.
That's true. But,
dude, Rumor Mill, great opening track. And again, talking the confidence of the vocals, like, Eric just comes out the gate laying it down. You know what I mean? Ben, you got to take on this, or are you going to hold off because you're going to take something later?
I had All These Years would have been my pick. But I'm not going to pick it because I don't want to be redundant, because we're already talking about this album right now. But yeah, Rumor Mill is a great pick. I actually thought about, I guess I could take, because the best song on the album is Accept This Guy, Accept This Guy, You're Gone. But like you said, it was already picked for the 95 playlist. So that would be like, and that's kind of cheap. So I'm glad it's on the list. Great pick. All These Years was my pick. Whatever. It's all good. It's all good in the hood. This I didn't see this band. Actually, the first time I saw this band was in 1996, and they were awesome. It was like finding water in the desert.
One of the greatest album covers of all time. You know, we got to say that too.
Oh,
Dan,
yeah.
Let's go to you for number five.
Okay. Well, can I please just say that Ben has been to more Oasis's than I have been to Oasis gigs, because he's finding so much water in so many different deserts.
96, dude. It's so ill. You know, it is. It's leading a bedge to water.
So, so drinking. While my compatriots have been talking, I have started scratching things off, and I'm down to six songs to go into three picks. So I'm still in a lot of pain. I'm going to go to a record that had so many car sing-alongs, so much jumping all over each other in cars, driving down freeways, etc. And it's just too incredible to leave off. And so lots of people would take Counter from this band, but I am going to take Who Dares Wins by Path of Resistance. The way the guitar sounds, like the I'm not doing a good impression of it, so listen to it on the playlist, everyone. It sounds so kind of old schoolish, while sounding so irreverent and new, and also heavy as fuck, but mid-tempo towards fast all at once. And you've got your three vocalists, which normally is a recipe for disaster, but I love how it sounds on this LP, especially on this song. I love as it culminates near the end. Like, the lyrics are melodramatic as fuck, which is always, always great for something coming out of Syracuse. It's, you know, basically based on the SAS slogan, which, you know, is hard as fuck. And then, you know, there's lines in there like, you know, about Babylon and where madmen rule, and taunted, mocked, and outcast. Through the pain I suffer with a smile. That's so fucking hard, so fucking ill. And then I love the part where it's like, who lives clean wins. She who dies clean wins. He who dies clean wins. Who dares wins. It's so ill. I fucking love this LP. Lots of people will say there's a lot of, you know, not good songs on it. I take the whole ride. I love it. But this is just the ending standout beauty. Extremely thick black X's on my hand right now that are just appearing as I talk about it. Fucking love it.
Yeah, you're a wild man for not taking Counter. You know, talk about a perfect song. You know, good God. This record is crazy, because when I listen to the first four songs, I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. And then it just like loses me so hard.
I can't wait for you to go back, like, for the playlist, because you may get lost in the build up to this song. But when you hear this song again, you're going to be like, oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to this song, because it's the last song on the album, and I don't know if I've ever made it to the end of this album. It's wild. Because like those first four songs are insane. Like, if they would have put that out as a 7-inch, it would have been like one of the greatest 7-inches ever, you know? To see the damage, Broken Heroes, and then To Die in Honor's Name, To Die in Honor's Name. So good, dude. And then Counter. Good God. That's the top of the mountain.
Wait till you
hear this. Dude, if there's a fifth great Path song, I am stoked. So, Ben, you got a take on this?
Yeah. You know, have you ever felt like you intellectually know something is not good, like objectively not good, but you still like it? Like, usually it happens with like really cheesy comedies, like movies. Like, that's the way I feel about this album. It's like, this is poorly recorded like metal sludge with like three guys who all sound like increasingly like Cookie Monster. Like it's like Cookie Monster, then like Cookie Monster's older brother, then they're Cookie Monster's dad. And like, but then you look at the lyric sheet and you're like, holy shit, every single song is about straight edge. And it's like biblical, like, you know, like the end is nigh, the world is crumbling, but we're going to, you know, save it because we're fucking guys from Syracuse that wear fucking ski masks. But it's like, fuck yeah, I'm all about it. The song I like the most, and I'm terrible with song titles, is the one where he goes, fuck those who bent the straight edge with their fucking lines. Yeah. What's that song?
That's an Earth Crisis song, I believe.
Oh, shit. No. Okay. Well, there you go. But I do like the one about wrapping a chain around this corrupt world's throat. Around this corrupt world's throat. That's definitely Path of Resistance. Don't tell me otherwise.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, it's all coming from the same pad.
Yeah, for sure. Clevo, you got a take on this?
You know, honestly, I probably have not listened to this record since 1996. It's definitely one, you know, it probably didn't get through the whole thing when I listened to it before. I remember it coming out and being like, oh, I really have to get it. And then was just like, oh, okay, I've heard it.
Yeah.
Boo.
But get excited about that playlist, dude. This is already banging. All right, Ben, number five.
All right. Don't mix an acid with a fucking bass because it'll blow up right in your face. Hardcore and metal will never gel. Path of Resistance, because we're sending your sound back to fucking hell in a body bag. This is Rain on the Parade, title track off their debut 7-inch Body Bag. And fun fact, Todd Jones's nickname was at one time Body Bag. How long did that last, would you say, Zach? A year?
No, like when Retaliate played, what was it, in late May? Like Ryan was still like, yo, I heard Body Bags here. So still to this day.
Yeah. When I heard this, I thought, actually, it was Mike Fight. I was like, Redemption 87 rules. He goes, the band sucks. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I go, what am I supposed to listen to? I love fucking, you know, 80s straight edge hardcore. He goes, check out Rain on the Parade. And I'm like, okay. And the first time I ever went to Ebullition, I bought that Rain on the Parade 7-inch and I loved it too. But like this song particularly, it's like, that's how a lot of us felt at the time, was like, look, okay, like I love Integrity. Like it's cool. Like they're mixing hardcore with metal, but they're keeping it, you know, fast parts intact. And like, it's just like when it's every band, it's like enough already. Like someone's got to fucking put their foot down and be like, enough already. Like if it's a few bands, cool, but it's like, come on, every fucking band. Like that's how it felt at the time. So when Rain on the Parade and all these bands were coming out, it was like, fuck yeah, we're flying the flag for like metal free hardcore. So I'm all about it.
Can we just talk about how funny that is? Like Mike Fight saying Redemption 87 sucks, and then like 2 years later joining Good Clean Fun. Fuck. It's like one of the hardest self owns like since Grizzly Man. You know? That's rough.
Shout out Grizzly Man.
Yeah, dude.
Shout out Smelly, shout out Noodles, shout out Grizzly Man.
wait, I saw Grizzly Man. I don't get the reference.
He hung out with bears and got eaten.
Oh.
It's a self-pwn.
How is that not self-ownage? The bears are my friends. You know? Dude, this 7-inch rips so hard. It's like 8 or 9 songs like on a 7-inch. And they're like, the worst song on here is still like pretty good. And it's over before you know it. You know? This thing is insane. Like, I wonder if it came out on a 12-inch. If it would be remembered a little better, you know, but part of the reason, like we go on these rants sometimes on this pod about labels and bands, like not thinking about putting their stuff up, like on the streaming services. It's like, whether you love the streaming services or you hate them, it's like the way it is now. So like put your stuff up or get forgotten history, dude. and like c'est la vie, I don't give a fuck. Like, if you don't care enough about your band to like put it up there, then like why should anyone care about you?
Well, here's a cruel irony to that. I actually was gonna pick a different band, and I thought to myself, but they're not on Spotify. And then I picked this, and this isn't either. Oops.
Well, friend of the pod, Chris Kelly, come on, put up a Rain on the Parade body bag.
Well, but this is Contention. Who was Contention? Was that?
Oh, that's right.
Was that Summers and Matt Smith?
Ooh, Matt Smith, friend of the pod, dude. Get it up there, foo. Come on. I need this. I love this record so much.
Oh, wait, but also friend of the pod, Fred Hammer, put out a version of this too. So let's get Fred Hammer on it.
Yeah. Fred, come on. Put this up online. Fred doesn't roll like that on. He's not on the streaming side of it. Although he sang on the first Annihilation Time record and Mandel helped put that up on streaming. So it's pretty sick that first Annihilation Time is up there. Everyone check that out. But yeah, this is Contention. You're right. Why was I thinking, did he do the second one? The second one on, Chris no, Kelly? The second one's on My War.
Which is Summers.
Yeah.
Right. That's Summers.
You know what? His zine was witty and hilarious. These lyrics are not only witty and hilarious, and the song is amazing, but it is a true, like, it's a fountain in the desert for Ben. Because these lyrics are saying, send it back to the long hairs in a body bag. It's absolutely pissed off that everything sounds like metal, but while being funny at the same time. It's a really amazingly written song.
Hey, Ben, did you know that there's a CD version of this?
He just got a boner.
Seriously, there's a CD version. Because I'm on Discogs right now. Because, like, this would be a good bargain corner.
Yeah,
because, like, it's showing, like, you have it on CD.
I have the CD, yeah.
Sick, dude.
It has extra stuff on it, too. I forget what extra stuff, but it has extra shit.
Yeah, it's a few untitled tracks. Let's see. But anyway, hell yeah. Stoked this got on. Everyone check it out. This is great. You're going to have to go dig it up yourself. But it is what it is. Okay, I am going to take Rancid Olympia, Washington. And, right? That's 95. Why are you laughing, Dan?
It's 96, and I'm just laughing because when I took the dogs to the woods this morning, I had my headphones in and I was listening to stuff for this pod, and I was just like walking along, realizing I was singing this out loud. To the Puerto Ricans, took us to the fun. It's like in Tim voice. I'm walking through the woods just singing to myself.
And then you looked it up and it was 95?
No, it's 96.
No, it's 95.
You told me it's 95, dude. I'm on it right now.
Oh my! Well,
you told me it was 96. So I put it on my list.
No, it's 95.
Spotify says it's 96.
Spotify's lying. I'm gonna have to choose something else.
Well, that's good for clearing another pick then, because I was definitely gonna have Rancid on.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Floor Punch. Not for me. First song. This is hard. You could take anything off this. Why are you laughing again?
I'm laughing because that was gonna be on my list.
Yeah, dude, I mean, like, let's talk about a mission statement. Floor Punch has already done the demo, but here's a 7-inch. First song of the 7-inch, 49 seconds. You know every single word. Dun, 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 dun. Now I can see it. What we had is gone. How can something so right? You're so fucking wrong. Come on, dude. It's perfect.
Oh, and the gang's right there.
It won't happen to us. No fucking way. Yeah, dude. This is epic. Clevo chose the Mina song. This is like the mission statement. It's under 1 minute. They tucked everything in here. So catchy, so gnarly, and just in and out, dude. It's a perfect hardcore song. And that's what's up. You got anything else on this, Dan, since you were thinking about it?
Well, I'll just roll right into another pick then, right?
Well, no, it's my pick.
Oh no, I won't. Well, I will pat you on the back and say this is a fucking amazing pick. I mean, like Cleaver said, you could put this up on the wall and throw darts, and whatever song got hit, you're getting a banger. But the no fucking way part on this, I mean, if there's a bed nearby, you're doing a dive.
That's right. And we can go to Clevo for number six, and then we can come back to you so you can take changes. All right. Clevo, number six.
All right. This is where it gets kind of tricky. Have quite a few things that I want to get in here, and what do I want to get? I'm going to go with Crown of Thorns, Juggernaut off of the Mentally Vexed LP.
Yeah.
It's not as good as the version on the EP with the Sunday for the Skinheads is Thrash Day on the EP, but great fucking song. You know, everything, like, just classic New York hardcore, and you know, great groove, and it's just everything you want in a New York hardcore song. Yeah, so I can listen to this all day. Just probably one of my favorite songs from the era. Just a song that I think that actually kind of goes under the radar. I think Crown of Thorns overall just goes under the radar, but yeah, great song, a great album overall too. By the way, if you haven't listened to it in a while, this is a fucking great album.
Yeah, I'm a strong disagree on this being the lesser version. This is way better because on the EP, the Trainyard Blues, Ezok has like the distortion on his vocals, and it like drives me crazy because like his voice is great and his flow is great, and like he's another dude where like the confidence comes through. He's a talented dude, especially on this record. Like, it's insane, and I like that he stripped that off because this song is perfect. This is also like Mike DeJean putting his stamp down, you know, saying like, I'm one of the greatest like hardcore songwriters of the 90s, you know? Like, this is...
Yeah, think about between this and Breakdown and... Yeah, Mike can fucking write a riff.
Dude, out of this world. And yeah, this is a song, right? If I was going to play someone a Crown of Thorns song, it'd be this. This or Ice Pick, right? But like, this song shows that they can do like a lot.
Yeah.
You know, where Ice Pick is like that straightforward, like down the pipe, like... You know, if someone's got a short attention span, check that one out. But Juggernaut, whew. Dan, what's your take? And compare the versions.
I hear the footsteps. I gotta say that riff is, you know, it's a favorite word of Zach's, but that is the most, might be the most YOLO riff in all of hardcore that's not Canderia. It is groovy. It is wild. It is like, you can't help but do the House of Pain dance to it. Like, it's
definitely
straight up.
It definitely has bounce. It has groove. It has whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I feel like Parker Lewis in the Jump Around video doing that two hands forward like white boy dance. Terrible.
You have to, because it just like hits. Like,
yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. It's like, it doesn't matter if you have no rhythm. Like, you just feel like fuck it, I'm going to do the Dead Fish shit on the end of the Faith No More video.
I'm going to stage seal this shit. Hopefully they got a bucket of fish by the drum riser.
That'd be vegan fish.
Shout out to the Patreons.
Hopefully they have a bucket of falafel by the drum riser.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
But I mean, it's incredible, and I wanted to pick this when we did 95, right? But I made it an honorable mention because that 90s, they were looking at almost like 90s alternative and 90s metal style recordings that were using that distortion. And I agree, when he's just flowing in his own voice, it's better. And the recording is a little bit more top notch here.
And it's crazy because it's like a longer album, but it's better. It's like more palatable. This one rules. Like, I like the other one, but in the other one, the cover is so great. But yeah, this is a great record, underrated. Trapped Under Ice checked it a lot. So, like, I think they kind of brought it back to people's viewpoint. But, you know, that's been a minute, you know, since Trapped Under Ice. So hopefully this stays in the lexicon because this is a great hardcore LP. And it takes a lot of chances. And there's a lot of creativity here. So, like, if you're a wild man, you like to listen to some wild music, like, this is super rad. Dan, let's go to you for your number six.
Okay. Now, you would think I would take Changes. And, you know, there's nothing better than seeing Zach and Ryan up front singing along to "You Losers Better Watch Your Back" because we're taking out the drunks first. But I'm not taking Changes. I am taking the best mosh in all of Floor Punch. I'm taking Stick Together because, let me tell you, when, you know, the song is amazing up until that point, but when it drops out and it starts with the just the low in the cut, you know, sing the riff for me because I can't do it. And then it builds and the other guitar like crinkles over the top and then it just comes in. This, we've talked about doing Super Sevens on mosh parts, like at some point when we're done with, you know, focusing on the year so much, and we might do that. This will be on there on someone's list because this mosh part is, I mean, I'm chef kissing so hard I just dropped my phone on the floor. Stick Together by Floor Punch. It ends the A side with this, and I can't live without it, even though I can't live without, you know, pretty much everything. I can't live without Changes. I can't live without, you know, Not For Me, which has already been taken, Clear, you know, all of it. But I'm going Stick Together, Floor Punch.
Yeah, this is like their big open mosh. And also, this is one where there's no singing on the mosh part, right? So it's like, you know what you're doing. It's not like half the crowd is like going for the mic, half the crowd is moshing. This is like the room's getting taken apart.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, interesting because we always name check Hatebreed as being the ones that are, you know, showing a way that like the sing-along's not the thing, the mosh part is. But this is Floor Punch doing that also at the same time period.
Yeah.
On this song.
I agree. I was saying like prior to this, like it's like the build up, right? Floor Punch isn't doing build ups. Hatebreed isn't doing like those big sing along build ups. It's all like it's sing alongs and it's mosh parts, right?
Yeah.
So killer pick, dude.
I think the thing with that is though, it's like Floor Punch is really, I don't know where the Hatebreed mosh parts, you know, sort of where that idea comes from, but like, you know, the Floor Punch mosh parts, it's like, we're going to take like the best parts of the Youth Crew. We're going to add Straight Ahead. So we're going to add some YOLO, and then we're going to put in Breakdown mosh parts. And then, you know,
and Cro-Mags
and Cro-Mags. But yeah, it's, you know, whereas, you know, Hatebreed is probably, you know, coming more from like the metal point of view, not saying that it's bad. You know, I'm not sending it back to the long hairs, but
no, right. Cause what Hatebreed's doing is they're taking like Suffocation and Entombed and they're putting it in like, actually like the Youth Crew song structure.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're taking the
They're taking the structure of like straightforward hardcore and then taking the sound of like the gnarly, like, you know, apex of death metal, which is early 90s death metal.
And I think that you can't overlook that. Integrity definitely had a big influence on Hatebreed too.
And Strive.
Yeah. So, you know, just coming from different places, you know, I mean, Hatebreed, you know, as they get bigger and get, you know, more metal, you know, whereas like at the beginning, they were like a straight up hardcore band, you know, they just happened to listen to, like you said, like Suffocation and Entombed and whatnot. Not that guys in Floor Punch weren't listening to metal records.
Right. Yeah. Ben, number six.
Number six. All right. I'm going to go with, God, I'm getting so Youth Crew-y. I didn't intend on doing this, but it's getting really youth crew in here. Hands Tied, What Lies Ahead. This is from their only EP. I know they like to say that their comeback record is an EP, but it's a single. There are only two songs on it. This is their 4-song 7-inch, or if you get the CD, 6 songs. So obviously the CD is the superior choice. But this song, What Lies Ahead, is on both formats. It has the same chords as the song My Wall by 10 Foot Pole, which is another song that rules. But Hands Tied doesn't have a Mexican hat dance breakdown in the middle of it, and I'm totally fine with that too. This also contains Zach's favorite straight edge lyric of all time, Stone Today and You're Drunk Tomorrow. So bonus points for getting under Zach's skin and infecting his alcohol soaked brain.
Jesus, this guy called a wet brain. That's some shit. Dude, I like this record. I like the first song the most because his voice is so cool when he goes from like the talking to the singing, right? That's the cover it up, try to deny. I can't see through your wall of lie. Cover it up, try to deny. That one, right?
Yeah, that's on there.
That one kicks ass. I love that one. But I'm glad this is on here. And I love the cover of this record, like Hands Tied. Here's a picture of some hands tied. What's up? Fucking, that shit's deep, yo.
Well, I think I want to say that they try to get Pusshead to do artwork for it, and then that didn't happen. But also, there's that one Youth of Today shirt that has like the hands being tied, like breaking apart. I think that probably had some influence on this.
And the Project X 7-inch having the X'd up hand on it too.
Yeah, I think there was probably a time, and it probably isn't still true, that I probably was like the one person that had seen more Hands Tied shows than anyone else, just because we toured with them. One thing when we were in Europe, and if you've gone to Europe or toured Europe, you know that hot water is at a premium, especially if there's 3 bands on tour, and members of Hands Tied would go off in the middle of the show and take showers. And there'd be no hot water for anyone else. And the tour manager called them Hands Tidy. So, yeah. So thanks, Hands Tied guys for using up all the water. This is definitely another record at the time that I think that when we talk about Mouthpiece, and you brought this up before, you know, we talk about Mouthpiece where they're definitely of their time. This is a lot closer to what I think people think Mouthpiece sounds like, or maybe what even Mouthpiece sells what they sound like. This is more towards that sound that they were going to.
This recording is also really bright, right? Where all the Mouthpiece like recordings are kind of dark sounding. Like, this is very bright, you know? And I got to say one other thing with the on-the-nose photos. Like, it's funny because I think there's also there's a photo of a guy on the back cover that's wearing a jersey that says Jersey on it. It's like, sick, dude. Hands Tied, here's a photo. Is it a jersey.
Is it a jersey or is it a varsity jacket?
It's a varsity. It's got to be.
Yeah.
I thought it was a baseball jersey that says Jersey on the front.
I don't know.
We'll pull it up on Discogs.
Hands Tied Hot Water Music split coming soon.
Gets a baseball jersey that says Jersey on it. But I think that's for New Jersey. That would be my guess.
Oh, you think?
Yes, Ben.
Point the band.
Oh, wow. It really is. It really is a baseball jersey that says Jersey. So shout out.
But shout out to the sleuth of the pod, Ben.
Here's something that bothers me about this band. Something that bothers me about this band and always has is that the drummer's last name doesn't have Mick in it. His last name is Guidotti, or I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Guidotti. Everybody else in the band is McCurdy, McGrath, and McMahon. So. But the drummer's first name is Patrick, so that makes up for it. That he gets his Irish points in there.
Yeah, and R.I.P. Sean.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, that's sad. R.I.P. Let's see here. Fuck. Abraxas is gone, dude. Of course it was going to be gone by round six. Come on. Ben's going to take – Ben, you got to take – it's going to come down to Ben taking Battery or Descendants in round seven. Let's see what I mean, want.
That'll never be me. Has got to be taken by someone. The mid-tempo banger of them all.
Dude, there's like so many good songs on that Battery record. I was listening to it today, you know. I'm going to take Youth Brigade, We're In. And I don't know why they titled the song this, because it's like, God damn it. Just call it Old Punks Don't Die. You know, this is an amazing comeback record. I guess they put out Happy Hour right before they did this record, which is not as good as this, but good God, this is up there for one of the best like albums of a band that took a lot of years off and came back for a second run. Youth Brigade to Sell the Truth is the truth, dude. It is so good. And there's a bunch of songs off this I could have taken. Like basically the whole record rules except for that Street Dominator, which is one of the worst songs of all time. You know? Just Jesus Christ, that song. That's the worst song, you know? Like, ugh. It's like as bad as like the worst Social D song.
We need the Eliminator to come take out the Street Dominator.
That's right. That's right. But this song rules so hard. It's about, you know, old punks, like the changing of the scene. Old punks don't die, they just cash in. And Sean Stern's voice sounds so great. You know, like this might be my favorite Youth Brigade album, even better than like the first one. You know, I don't know, dude, but I love this. Old punks don't die, they just cash in. And then, like, it has that, like, bridge part, too. I like to admit, or I must admit, I don't go in the pit like I used to anymore. It's, like, so good, dude. Sounds but anyway, horrible. If you, dude. No, it sounds amazing, dude. Come on. Check it out on the playlist, people, and tell Ben he's wrong, even though he got to the bottom of the jersey. Oh my God. Does anyone else, no one else has a take on this? You guys don't like it?
Well, I like your crooning rendition of some of the wackiest lyrics I've ever heard.
Hey, let's have a campfire. I'll sing this for all of you.
Please. And then keep Santana away from my eardrums.
We'll just listen to that Okulu intro over and over as cash.
Okay. Here's my take on it. Because Sound and Fury is a classic. That's the one from the early 80s. I'm down for that, of course. They came back in 92. They put out that Come Again record, which I thought was an EP, even though it's listed as an LP. Yeah, it's an EP. That record I liked. I got it on cassette right when it came out in 92. Then they did Happy Hour, which is pretty good. It's okay. But then this one I never liked, and you kept on raving about it. And then I went back and I listened to it, and I still don't like it. And I still have no idea what you're talking about. It's not good. And the record cover is fucking horrendous. A horrendous pink and blue little kid putting his shoes on his knees to make him look like he has no legs. What is going on?
Hey, he danced those legs off in the Royal Crown Review swing dance pit.
Ay. Well, all right then. Anyway, guys, this song rules. People out there, check it out on the playlist and tell these motherfuckers what's up. All right, back me up here. Okay, let's go on to the heartbreaker round. Clevo, this is when that number one slot kind of starts to burn.
Yeah, there's a shitload of stuff that I'm sure we're going to talk about honorable mentions at the end, but there's a shitload of stuff that I could pick from. But I'm going to go left field because I definitely want to give some shine to this. It's a band called Get High. They did a demo in 96, so it's not on Spotify. It might be on YouTube. The song is called Mayenga. It's the first song on the demo. This band was a bit of a early 90s Central Mass supergroup where it's two members of Dive and two members of the band Opposition get together, and it's a little melodic, groovy, has a bit of a Swizz feel to it. Most notably, though, the drummer is Matt Kelly, who went on to be in the Dropkicks. Matt, you know, did a bunch of other bands. He was also in a band called Fit for Abuse that he sang in, which I was also going to pick from here. But just want to give some shine to this because it's really fucking good. But the only people that are into this are people who were going to shows in Central Mass or in Boston at that time. It was reissued on vinyl with another demo that they did almost 10 years ago at this point, but there's only like, they only press like 300 of them. But you could go on Discogs and get one cheap if this sounds like it's up your alley. But it's really fucking good. People should check this out.
Hell yeah. Take that, Hands Tied. We getting high. Does anyone else have a take on this?
Yeah. I don't know if I've heard the demo, but I owned a Get High CDEP at one point. And I can't say I was a fan of it. And I just looked in my collection right now and I don't have it anymore. But that's the Alex Garcia Riviera era of Get High, and Fields of Fire bought a van off of him. And boy, that was a mistake. What a piece of shit fan that was. But this band reminds me of Pops because he's a Massachusetts guy. And I want to say he was a fan, but I can't remember.
And Anthony is definitely on the list of like Get High super fans. They were a really great band, and it's kind of funny because their singer Kevin, who is the singer for the band, if you're familiar and you want to check out some early '90s Mass stuff, the band Dive was really good. I could have picked three Matt Kelly bands from this because this year, because he did the Get High demo was this year. The Fit for Abuse 7-inch, which is like straightforward, sounds like it could have come out on Exclaim that Matt sings on, came out this year. And then also he played drums in a band called Hatchet Face that was had like strong like infest just spastic grindy vibes. He played drums on that, so Matt was kind of just all over the place. And then like a year later, he's playing drums in the Dropkicks, and then Alcor replaces him in Get High, and then they go off and they do a couple records after this.
Ben, when you bought that Get High CD, did you like feel shame? Like, did you tell like the record clerk, like, dude, you know, I'm actually Edge?
No.
Just had to clear that up. Yeah, okay. Dan, let's go to you for your heartbreaker pick.
Well, in regards to Get High, I found The Edge some 9 years ago. I learned I don't need records by a band called Get High. I learned to say no, but it's all right to be different from your friends. All right. Heartbreak round. This is truly heartbreaking because, like I mentioned before, That'll Never Be Me by Battery. Mid-tempo, absolute banger. And then Hard Skin, first album comes out. I would have taken Beer and Fags, but I'm not because The Edge is too strong on my playlist. So I'm down to two songs, and one is Gomorrah's Season Ends by Earth Crisis. The song is incredible. The album, not so much, but the song, it's like, has a tempo of like, riding a horse and you stop every, you know, few little bits to like survey the area before you ride on again. And it comes back in. It's just so good. And then of course it ends with, I am Straight Edge. And I desperately want it on my playlist, but I cannot deny that the Swingin' Utters LP, Juvenile Product of the Working Class, comes out this year. And there are two songs on it that are just absolutely undeniable. Windspitting Punk and The Next in Line. The Next in Line is the slower, more like, starts out with an acoustic guitar sing-along. Very Zach Crooney. He would, you know.
Dude, if you don't take this one, you're a maniac. It's one of the greatest songs ever.
Yeah, but the Windspitting Punk one too, with the tempo changes and the pseudo Gaelic sounds that are coming through is amazing also. But yeah, you're right. The Next in Line is the song that I think of my vinyl of this. You know, like sometimes when you've got a really well listened to record, but you kept needle dropping back to a certain song over and over again. And there's like definitely some crackle on one part of the LP. Mine has a little bit of crackle at the beginning of this song because I needle dropped so hard to come back to this song over and over and over again. And the next in line with the, so it starts out with Johnny just singing with the acoustic guitar and it's amazing. And it, then when it kicks in, it goes with the whole band playing really, really awesome, like emotionally driven punk, but beautiful, like amazing punk. And Darius, the guitar player, is doing these like echoey backups for each line. So he's like, you know, on the south side, living alone, living alone. And it's perfect. It is a perfect punk song. And as much as I need Gomorrah's Season Ends on my playlist, I wouldn't be me having this not on there. So I'm going with Next in Line by Swinging Utters to close it out. I mean, it is just, it's just brilliant. And if listeners, you've not heard this song or you haven't heard it in a million years, you really got to dive into the playlist, because when you hear this, you'll know it's undeniable. It'll be in your head for ages and you'll just absolutely love it.
And how cruel is it that they put it as the last song on side A? So you couldn't just bump it one track so I could like have it start side B? Like, you motherfuckers. Plus, it would have been the perfect way to start side B, right? Because it's all like acoustic or clean channel when it starts.
Yeah.
Dick move, dude. Whoever sequenced this record, they weren't thinking. The other thing, I got it pulled up in oh, never mind. My fact is not true. Badger would have caught me. I love this pick. I'm stoked on this playlist. I can't wait to listen to it. I wish Body Bag was on Spotify. Good God. You know, but hey, it is what it is. Ben, let's go to you for round 7.
Swinging Utters. So I thought you were going to pick Wind Spitting Punk. And actually, I saw Swinging Utters in the 90s and in the 2000s, and I thought nothing of them. I thought they were just a boring, generic punk band. And when you raved about Wind Spitting Punk on this podcast, Dan, I went back and I listened to it, and it is such a good song. In fact, it's the only song I like by the Swingin' Utters, but I love it so much. But I am going to listen to the Next in Line the minute we stop recording, because
please,
I figure this band might actually have two good songs.
I mean,
they honestly have way more than that.
I mean, honestly, I think that they've been putting out great records. Like, I celebrate the entire catalog, but I also would argue and say that, because I had it on my list, 15th and T is another great fucking song on this record.
Absolutely. There's like eight great songs on this LP, but Windspitting Punk and the Next in Line are the two mega stars.
Dude, and the Stooge off the next LP?
People say I'm crazy. I actually think that Five Lessons Learned, that's my favorite Swinging Utters record. But I think that's just because I actually heard that and got into it first. But there's some fucking great song. Like I said, I celebrate the entire catalog.
The Sounds Wrong EP is amazing as well. The EP in between Streets of San Francisco and this album that I'm talking about,
yeah,
there's an EP called The Sounds Wrong EP. Is that, it's so good.
Is that the one? Does that have the dirt? Is that the one with Dirty C on it?
Yep.
Yeah, great record.
All right.
Oh yeah.
Well,
Ben, number 7.
Heartbreak Around. All right. So I'm looking at what I got so far, and it is so Youth Crew that I would feel guilty for picking a Fast Break song or an Atari song or even a Battery song or even a Civ song. So I'm going to have to go with Resignation, the very first song off the self-titled album, which is actually the third album by the band Face to Face on A&M Records, the same label that kicked off the Sex Pistols many years earlier. It's sort of like there's like a dip in Face to Face's career because they have that Don't Turn Away album on Doctor Strange, which is incredible. Then they signed to a major. They put out Big Choice, which is okay, but not nearly as good as the first album. And then this is kind of like, this is really good again. So, and then anything after this, I just can't get into. This is it for me. This is the end of the line. But man, what a great, this song specifically is so fucking good. And I know this is another one of those bands that like Ignite or Pennywise or Social Distortion that has like baggage attached to it. Like, ha ha ha, that band, ha, ha. They wear wife beaters and they're from the Inland Empire and they're like pop punk and they're not real, whatever. I don't even know what people say, but God damn, this song is so fucking good. Fuck it. Like, fight me. Like, this is my number seven pick with pride.
Well, what people used to knock them for, Ben, was I think that they were a butt rock band right before they were Face to Face, right?
What is it? Something Victorian Manor or...
Right, something like that. And then like they were on Doctor Strange, and this could all be wrong, so don't get at me, people. I'm talking rumors, so put an asterisk on all this. So supposedly they're a butt rock band, then they get on Doctor Strange, Dude Don't Turn Away, supposedly fuck over Doctor Strange, go on Fat, re-release the record there, so they already pissed someone off, right? And then they leave Fat right away to go to a major. And so I think that that's kind of what followed them. But it's undeniable. Don't Turn Away is amazing. And this record is too. And you're right, there's like that sophomore slump. Although Big Choice has like three great tracks on it.
Yeah, but, they all have Disconnected on it.
They do all have Disconnected. What we did that as a trivia question. What, it was like 11 albums have it?
This one doesn't.
Yeah, so that's a knock on this track. Record. That's a knock on this record, but everything else is pretty cool. You know. All right, goddamn. There's a lot of stuff I need, but you guys have bailed me out a lot, right? Like I wanted that, I wanted Juggernaut. I wanted Integrity. I wanted 10-Yard Fight. We've talked it all. Oh, I wanted that Avail song. Fuck. A big thing that is not going to make it is Battery. And that's crazy because that LP is so spectacular for this year, you know? And also, there is a Funeral Oration song that came out this year, but it's not spectacular, so I'm not taking it. Their side of the Chicago versus Amsterdam split actually gets bodied by Chicago with that Bull Weevil song, which is like amazing, and the 88 Fingers Louis song, which is okay. Ben would think there's too much bass shenanigans going on. But, God. Fuck it, dude. I'm just keeping it real. Dun 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 dun. Keeping it real. The third best song on the CD, but it's a perfect way to end the playlist. And it's what we do up here on 185 Miles South. So that's what's up.
Mission statement.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Dan, you got a take on keeping it real?
Hey, all I got to say is what?
okay.
Yeah, I mean, we talked this before on the Hard Style podcast, but I really think that this record and the one right after it, Strength Through Unity, are pretty spectacular. The recordings are so great for the style of music. The songwriting is pretty clever. This record, the songs are a little longer, but they got a couple like straight bangers, but really this, it's only six songs. It's pretty easy to listen to, and Strength or Unity is like straight up spectacular. Although the second song, Strength or Unity, is pretty terrible, which hurts it, right? It's like the Blood for Blood record. Like, it's hard when the second song is pretty bad, but yeah, this is great. Everyone check it out. I'm sure most of you know it, but if you don't, it is a hardcore classic. Love it or hate it, you can't strip it away. You got to you know, sometimes separate the artist from the art, right? Shout out to the Smiths. And yeah, Clevo.
Leave Johnny Marr alone.
That's right. That's right. Clevo, I mean, this was something spectacular at the time, right? Like, obviously it's turned into something silly, but this record, 95, 96, like 25 to Life, is a legit band.
You know, I think that if you had just those first two 25 to Life 7-inches, you know, maybe if you didn't have Rick's traveling flea market, maybe if you didn't have, you know, Rick having social media, like these two first records, if these two first records were an LP, it would be a Stone classic, without a doubt. They were fucking great songs. It's just kind of, you know, I guess it's weird because I think we look back and we kind of laugh that like Rick was just on this hustle where like, you know, he would, if he showed up and his band didn't show up, he would like sing along to the CD or whatever. Like that's just Rick being on his hustle. But like, I mean, that's also like, you know, like that's just Rick like wanting to like get his songs out there. Like, but it's also still kind of corny, but, yeah, they're great songs. And you know, and they were like at that time fucking really fun to see. Like I said, I drove to Albany to see 25 to Life. I was really hoping to see Killing Time, but you know, like I was going there to see 25 to Life too. That was the show that Rick showed up in a Carolina blue triple fat goose floor length down coat. So, that's all you need to know about 25 to Life.
Respect.
Yeah. When they came out to the West Coast after they put out Strength Through Unity, like, I can't speak on anything before that because I'd never seen him, but the band he had with him was spectacular. I mean, for a four-piece, like, they sounded so gnarly, and their drummer on that run was ridiculous. Like, I saw him in Ojai, and then I seen him at the San Diego Showcase Theater, and I remember, like, that Showcase Theater, it had, like, a drum riser, and I remember just, like, seven dudes, like, standing there watching the drummer. Like, he was spectacular. So, you know, it's they're a wild catalog to go through because obviously they put out a ton of terrible records, you know, and got really funky.
Well, shout out to OMDB playing the Auto Bar in Baltimore. And because I knew he was at the show, I was like, yo, this one goes out to my man, Rick to Life. And as I gave that shout out, he's walking out the door and he just threw up a peace sign.
Respect. All right.
One thing about Rick, classic Rick. I don't know if we've told this story on here. Anthony actually might have told it, but like, they bought like a, it was like a, it might have been like a straight ahead like VHS, and get home and the tape's blank. So like, we're going to a show the next week. So like, Rick's gonna be there, and like, hey, this tape's blank. It's like, oh, cool. I'll just give you another one, and that tape was blank too.
Keeping it real.
That's so fucked up. So fucked up. All right, let's do honorable mentions. Let's keep it quick. We're at over 2 hours already. Clevo.
I'm just going to go down the line. Let's see. Blue Tip, Discord 101, Weston Got Beat Up, H2O Self-Titled, Ink and Dagger, Love is Dead 7-inch, Blood for Blood, First 7-inch, Soulless, Sweet Belly Freakdown 7-inch. Let's see, Crudos, we already said. Oh, Slapshot, Old Time Hardcore, was really hard to not take a track off of that. Murphy's Law, Dedicated, specifically the track Stay Gold, fucking awesome track. The Fit for Abuse 7-inch. Also, I know it's not in the spirit of the game, but Bad Brains, Black Dots was reissued in 1996, which was probably the first time most of us got our hands on it. His Hero is Gone. I forget which. I think 13 Counts of Arson came out this year. Let's see what else. I had a couple more on here. Blood for Blood. I think that's it from my list. Oh, the band Judgment. The first Judgment 7-inch comes out this year. And the song Kick It Over, the B-side of that. Fucking, I wanted to go a little more international and get Judgment on there, and I'm pissed I didn't have a chance to get it in there.
Yeah, although like you wouldn't have opened up any eyes because I don't think that's on Spotify.
It's not, but still that track is hard as nails.
Yeah, those are great records. Dan, honorable mentions.
Okay, I'm just gonna do tracks that I really wanted to get on that didn't. I won't take up a million Ben bass players. That'll Never Be Me, Battery, Holding On, 10-Yard Fight, Proud to Be Straight, 10-Yard Fight, Windspitting Punk, Swinging Utters, Beer and Fags, Hard Skin, Gomorrah's Season Ends, Earth Crisis, and Tuesday by Avail, Taken Away, Ignite, shout out Janosch, like serious shout out. Hope he's doing all right, wherever he is, for real. Hollow, Integrity, Counter, Path of Resistance, Clear and Changes, Floor Punch.
Ben, honorable mentions.
Ignite, Taken Away, shout out Janosch, Zach and Dan's Brother from a Hungarian Mother, Atari, Skate Tough, Fast Break, At Times, Civ, Social Climber, you got a Veil, Redemption 87, all these years,
Battery, go back to the gym, you fucking asshole. Prima, Prima, Graduation Day. Intensity, Backstabber. That's the Swedish band that sounds like Ignite. Texas Is the Reason, Back and to the Left. The missing 23rd, Hate from the Nobody Moves, Nobody Gets Hurt demo. Super Touch, Better from the Antimatter comp. Dillinger 4, Open and Shut from the Strike Dillinger 4 split 7-inch, also track 5 on the This Shit Is Genius CD, which I didn't pick because it wasn't on Spotify. And then I ended up picking a song that also is not on Spotify. Oops. Trial, Through the Darkest Days, By the Grace of God, Goliath. Blue Tip, the song Nickelback, not the band Nickelback. 108, Killer of the Soul, Jawbox, Excandescent, Into Another, Android's Last Entry, Social Distortion, I Was Wrong, Ensign, Pale Horse from their self-titled debut EP on Indecision Records, Half Mast, Their Vision, Hot Water Music, You Can Take the Boy Out of Bradenton, and The Descendants, I Am the One.
Yeah, okay. Ignite, Taken Away, shout out Janosch. And then also shout out to episode one, the legend Joe Rivas, all of Good Riddance, A Comprehensive Guide to Modern Rebellion. That's all we got. 1996, maybe the best year ever, dude. Holy cow. Everyone check out the playlist, 185milessouth.com. Click that playlist link at the top of the page and check out the music we talk about every week. Clevo, how can the people find you?
At Clevo on Instagram. It's 100% dog content now, so please be aware.
There you go. All right, Dan, how can people find you?
At Southport Instagrammer on Instagram. And there's quite a lot of dog content here too. Plus, I am mad that I forgot about that 10 about Back and to the Left, because that is such a killer song. But my list rules.
Texas Is the Reason, dude. The most boring band I ever saw live.
You never saw Pedro the Lion then.
Ben, how can the people find you?
On Instagram at Cold Chillin Book. I never post pictures of my dogs because they don't have anything to do with hip hop, but I should just do it anyway.
You should, dude. That's like your account now.
Yeah.
The book's been out for a couple years, right?
Get Droopy on there, please.
Yeah, you got some prime dogs, dude.
Tripod
people need
power.
To see.
Yeah, we got tripod dogs are where it's at.
That's what's up. All right, everyone, you can get me 185 Miles South on Instagram, 185 Miles South on Twitter. But the best way is to email 185milessouth@gmail.com. I respond to all of those. The DMs get a little weirder. If I'm on there and I see it, you'll get a response. But sometimes stuff gets pushed down. I do not know why. Also, my personal, Zach Retaliate on Instagram. And you know, Retaliate is the best on Instagram. Everyone, we'll talk to you again next Monday. Thank you for the support.